Things versus stuff.
Yeah.
No, you know where the mic goes.
Yeah.
Okay. We're rolling.
Stuff versus things.
Stuff versus things. That's this year's Christmas episode.
Yeah.
We've already started.
The episode?
Yeah.
For Christmas?
No, we're in it now.
Okay.
I don't even know if we do a cold open.
No, let's not even bother.
No.
No. We do it different for Christmas.
I don't remember if we do.
Well, we don't talk about photo stuff.
This has got to be... Which one is this?
Episode number...
It's number 6.
309.
No, no, no. 10, this is Christmas episode 6.
Oh, no.
Sixth one.
Six years.
Yeah.
Talking about nothing.
6 in a row. That's it. And but the good news is, get the mic up. Come on.
You know. Closer. Well, sorry.
Maybe.
Sorry.
Yeah, in around there.
Okay.
We're in person again.
Three in a row. Not in a row, probably.
No, we're going to skip some.
Yeah. So we're back together again.
I kited back in strictly for the Christmas episode.
Okay, because we had to make sure the Christmas one, it was a big deal for it to be live. Has it been live in the last couple of years?
Last couple of years, no.
Really?
No. We've done it.
We have done it live before.
Yeah, but that's when I was here for Christmas.
Okay.
Maybe.
We've never done Christmas episode in November?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. Correct us if we're wrong, universe.
I've had way too much eggnog.
Okay.
Just kidding.
This episode is going to get silly.
It could get silly. So you were telling me a story earlier.
Are you going to even say this is the two hosers or anything like that?
I assume they knew.
But we don't do that?
I don't think we do the intro on that.
Okay.
No intro.
No intro.
No.
Okay.
Sixth one.
Okay.
Go. Be interesting.
In Vancouver, though, I didn't fly to Germany.
All right, we're already 2 minutes in. We have not been interesting.
We just got to fill 36 more minutes.
Well, I imagine all of our listeners cuddling up by the fire.
Yeah.
Stockings already hung. Listening to the hosers.
Yeah, talk about what we like to do at Christmas.
I do, and I like Christmas.
Me too.
Even though I hate the weather.
Okay.
So there's that.
I like... going to the snow. I grew up in Ontario where there's lots of snow.
Right.
And so I like to go and find some snow during Christmas. Mm-hmm. Germany, you get the snow. In Vancouver, we get it seldom.
The last few years, we have not really gotten much snow.
So where I'm going with this is you can go find the snow though, right? In Germany, we can go to the local mountains. There's lots of places to find the snow.
I have to go to the local mountains as well.
Less than an hour away, you've got snow. Is that true?
Yeah, less than an hour, sure.
So you go looking for it.
Yeah.
And I find in particularly, I really make an effort to do that around Christmas because something about Christmas says we should be tobogganing, we should be skating outside, we should be... this year I'm hoping maybe I'll take my kids skiing. I want them to try skiing, and they seem to be into it. So that you kind of feel like Christmas goes along with snow activities outside.
It has been a long time. Out on the West Coast, it didn't happen that much growing up. But every once in a while, we'd get a cold snap and you could skate outside. I miss that. Yeah. That's one thing I am... The last couple years in Germany, I've been hoping that we're going to get a cold snap and I can play some outdoor pod hockey.
Well, my brother...
I'm assuming they're terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't be good. You'd dangle everybody.
Yeah.
My brother, who lives on the island near Victoria, a couple years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, they had enough cold weather. So this is, again, not typical for West Coast living, but was able to flood his backyard like we did in Ontario and have a little backyard skating rink. Now, you might only have it for a week and it's a lot of work if it only lasts for a week. But yeah, he kind of wanted to do that for his kids. And so they had a little skating rink in the yard that probably lasted a week.
And so you had a rink in your yard growing up?
Well, we had a pond that was less than a 5-minute walk. So there was no need for our backyard. Some of my friends did backyards, but we had this enormous pond that you could have essentially 20 games going at the same time. And the flag would go up green when the ice was good and red if you were not to go on the ice, just in case someone were to fall through.
Which I've seen before.
Yeah, I never saw anybody, but nobody really did go out there when the flag was red, but it was great because the ice was always in great shape and they would clear the ice. And that was the place to go over the Christmas holidays, was to the pond.
So typically when would that start? Like in November?
Probably in November. I'd say late-ish November, and it would go right through to probably late January anyways. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, it had to go into February.
Sometimes, I guess just year to year, but it was great. And that was what you did after school. That was what you did on the Christmas holidays. That was just what you did.
That's something that, I have very fond memories of pond hockey, and I don't know what it is. It's just,
it's a community gathering where kids, adults, grandparents, anybody, some people in boots walking by, anybody just could come out there, grab a stick and sort of join together. And it was, again, I get a little bit sort of emotionally brought back to my childhood when I think about that was the great thing. There was no, you know, skill divider. It didn't matter if you were a rep player or you'd never played hockey a day in your life. It was just everyone could go out there and you passed to everybody and involved everybody. And it was just one of those things when everybody left, you always kind of felt like you had a good time. Like, I don't think anybody, I never saw a fight on the pond ever.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I just had better friends growing up than you did.
We didn't have enough time to fight on the pond because you had 45 minutes and then it melted. Like, get in there and skate. Yeah, that is one thing I miss, and I think like many Canadians, I really do romanticize the notion of pond hockey. You know, no helmet.
Yeah.
Out there playing in a toque. Probably not allowed anymore. I'm sure the kids wear helmets over their toques.
Yeah, probably. But my kids, I think, playing pond hockey, because we were in Vernon last year for Christmas, I'm pretty sure they wore helmets on their rink, their outdoor rink there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm hoping that's gonna happen. I think for me, it is a wildly democratic process.
Yeah,
you know, everyone's out there just having a great time. There's no pressure. There's no nonsense. Because I think a lot of what happens now with hockey and baseball is like you got to play on the travel team. And it's $25,000 a year, and this politics. No politics out there.
Yeah,
it's just good times and hot chocolate.
Yes, usually hot chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah,
the pond that I grew up with, they had like a little indoor place where you could go and get your feet warm if you wanted to, and they sold hot chocolate. I think that was the only thing they sold, but it was, again, a place with heaters, and you could go in. There probably 15 or 20 people could fit in there at a time, and you can go warm your feet, get a hot chocolate, and then back out to the ice. So,
what sort of temperatures were we talking?
North of Toronto, not that cold. Like, usually around zero. It's not Winnipeg where it's minus 38. No, it's just normal, around zero, maybe one or two below. I don't know exactly how you count for the wind chill or not, but it's not super windy and it's not that cold. Just perfect for outdoor hockey.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And then to me, that's kind of what I like about Christmas, is the activities versus the stuff.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I was going.
And we didn't want to do show. We talked about it beforehand. I didn't want to do a Scrooge McDuck show.
Yeah.
About Christmas is terrible. It's over commercialized. It is, though. Yeah. It really is over commercialized. Everyone complains about it. Yet everyone still shops in the mall when they have when are the
I think Costco starts Christmas in September now.
For real?
For real. Okay. The lights and stuff starts showing up probably end of September.
I thought the cutoff traditionally was like November 12th was day one.
Not even close.
Really?
Not even close.
But for a long time it was, because it was Remembrance Day was sort of the unofficial, like the last day without Christmas in the malls.
Yeah, and I think that's now gone.
Yeah.
It starts much earlier now.
Wow. But it's in the, 'cause I was in the mall... I think I was there on my last trip when I was in Vancouver. I was probably mid-November and was kind of actually surprised to hear Christmas carols being played in the change room.
Well, now, not only, I mean, the fact of malls and stores starting it before Halloween, like, that's a real thing.
Okay.
Some of them wait till after Halloween. A lot of them know.
Uh-huh.
But I've even noticed this year, earlier than ever before, lots of people, the day after Remembrance Day, already have their Christmas lights up and on. So I used to think that that was a December 1st sort of move. Like I always would put mine up first weekend of December and turn them on. And I get the people who, you know, are putting them on all levels of their house and they don't want to brave the weather possibilities. So they're going to put them up in November because it's less dangerous.
Fair enough.
And then flip them on in December. But no, they're on and going already. And now I love lights and I love Christmas lights and up. I find it odd that it's already going by November 14th or 12th or whatever it was this year.
You're right. I haven't noticed. I haven't been looking around, but you're right. December 1st is kind of the cutoff for me.
I thought.
I mean, that is, you know, generally I would be taking mine down by December the 1st. That's how I get around to it. But see, for us, like in Germany, the lights aren't as big a deal. But the Christmas tree, it comes down to when do you put your Christmas tree up? When do you put your Christmas tree up?
Usually same thing at the lights, usually first weekend-ish in December.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big family thing.
Yeah.
See, for us, Germany, they're all about the 12 days of Christmas, which is the 24th to the 6th of January, Three Kings Day. I think we might have talked about this in the show before.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, briefly.
Dreikönigstag is this January 6th, and that's the actual 12 days of Christmas. And so for us, and I've been trying to shift away from this because I like the fact that that we have all of the German traditions that my wife has.
Yeah.
Which spoils the kids because they get the German and the Canadian.
Double dip.
Yeah. They get the really cold. No, never mind. That was a joke. It was going nowhere fast. But for me growing up, we used to put the tree up probably mid-December.
Okay.
You know, and it was a big thing. We'd play, you know, Sesame Street, Christmas on the LP, the record.
Mm-hmm.
We'd play that and as a family put the tree up and it was a great time. I remember really enjoying it. And then for us in Germany, the tradition is Christmas Eve. You put it up on Christmas Eve. That's it. And not earlier. But I kind of like having that little lead in, like a few days lead in where the kids can get excited in anticipation of Christmas.
Yeah, and now that's become the other things. The Elf on the Shelf is a big one where that starts December 1st. And that's
what is Elf? Come on now. What is Elf on the Shelf?
Well, I think you know I bought you one last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's the elf.
So I'm going to break it to you.
Yeah. It's the elf that shows up. My kids love the elf.
Okay.
It's a lot of work for the parents because you usually have to, you know, go to Pinterest and get ideas for how to make a spectacular scene. No. This is just not me personally, but this is just what it's become.
This is your wife though, right?
No, not really.
Does
no.
She not
she'll
do it?
She'll do it. Yeah, it's halfway in the middle. She'll sometimes put him on a cookie sheet and he made a snow angel out of, you know, sugar or something.
Right.
She'll do that.
That's
she's not bad. Not a big elaborate scene, but he likes to do stuff, our elf.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What's his name?
Fizbee. Yeah.
That's the actual default name.
It's one of the default names in the book.
Yeah.
My kids were really creative when they named him.
Yeah.
They saw, oh, Fizbee's good.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. They're not going to have any problem naming their kids.
Right.
Okay. someone say John or Jim. Yep. Done.
Sure.
Done.
Whatever.
So, yeah. So that elf thing is a tradition around our house. And I like it because it's kind of a lead up to Christmas. And it's, you know, good family, innocent fun. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't involves one elf that you buy one time and doesn't go in the landfill until my kids turn 18, probably.
Wow.
So I'm good with those kind of traditions. We have a couple of traditions and you can maybe speak to yours. One that is got a small photography tie-in is our star, our Christmas star. So every year it's a homemade. It's a toilet paper roll with a old cardboard piece of...
Wait, yours is homemade?
Yeah. Our star, yeah.
I did not know that.
And every year I take a picture of the kids and we glue it on to the star. So every year increasingly gets filled up. So there's still...
Like you take a picture of them putting it on the tree?
No, I usually take a picture of them in a Santa hat.
Okay.
And it goes on to the... Usually you have one of them together. So for this year, pick one of the pictures off of what I used for my Christmas card. And then I'll just cut them out and I'll put it on the on the new star. So, or not on the star, on the original star. So just kind of gradually as they grow up,
is going to it.
Yeah. Every year. So now they have whatever, 6 years, 7 years worth of pictures of them on the star. So I like it. It's a neat tradition mm-hmm. and it's very simple to do. So
for us, what we needed a star, and this was kind of started before we had kids. We had a very small Christmas tree as you do in Germany. And, we didn't have a star. We had decorations, but no star. And I just sort of as a joke made one out of toilet paper roll and this and that. And we thought it was great. And then we had our daughter the next year. And I said, well, we're doing this. And so each year we would make, not put their photos on, which is a good idea, but we would just make a new one. And now that they're older and can actually do it themselves, every year we make one together.
Okay.
And put that up.
Yeah.
And then...
What do you do with last year's?
I think they're probably kept because we can never throw anything out ever.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we're going to toss them. I take a picture of it, so...
It's captured.
Yeah. So last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I forget. I think it was last year. My daughter said she wanted to do the sun. I said, well, it's a star, so fair enough. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. And so we made the sun. And you know, then put it on the tree. So I do love that because you can go and like growing up, we had a triangle. Didn't have a star. It was actually a triangle that lit up.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, we were Masons or something.
Sure.
Something like that. It was terrible. And then at one point, I think we got an angel or something like that, but store-bought.
Okay.
And so I thought about that. Like when I got over there, I thought, you know, Christmas time, what should we do? Love the tradition.
Yeah.
And now it makes it a little kind of fun. It gives you a craft to do that sort of stuff. So that I love. But Elf on the Shelf, you and your wife, I'm assuming your wife.
I do a little bit.
Bought it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your wife's very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the effort she puts in to sort of, A, think of, you know, my kids and all that. And so with that, we don't use it.
Great.
It scared the ever-loving fuck out of Emily.
can you say that?
Yeah. No, that's her name. It's Emily. Yeah. So that was 2 years ago. She did not like it one bit. The fact that there's this elf down there waiting for her.
Yeah.
So that lasted exactly 2 nights and went back in the box. So if you prorate that, it was about $22.50 a night.
Yep. Yeah.
And now it's Elf in the Attic.
Great.
Where he stays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I might just take a picture of that and post that every single day on Facebook.
Nice. All right.
There he is again.
Yeah.
Everybody. Actually, look for that. I'll do that. And just see what kind of response. I wonder how long it'll be until someone says, all right, enough.
Yeah, I would say six.
Day three, someone's going to pipe up, I'm sure.
What about stuff? What about presents and stuff that you get for your kids? Because we do now live in a world where I think we're over-consuming, right? Like, I think that can be safely said.
Yes.
We're over-consumers to the max. North Americans, like, you know, maybe not in third world, but first world anyways.
It's creeping to Germany as well.
Okay.
Like, it's nice to think that, hey, we're above that. We're definitely behind the curve.
Okay.
In terms of North America. Like, here, it's absurd.
Yeah.
Like, you know, televisions are free now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody...
Has eight of them.
Do you have more than one?
I have two.
Do you have two?
Yeah, we have two.
You have two flat panels.
Yeah.
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 And I feel
awful saying that. Like, yeah.
Right. You know, and if you do it, how many square inches of TV do you have versus square footage in your house?
Exactly.
The ratio is way off.
It's totally off. Yeah. Yeah.
We have one, you know, and I'm not above it. Like, we could potentially have two. I'm fighting it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to fight the good fight because I don't want that. My wife's the same, so we're on board. So anyways, you're right. We have so much stuff that I always like to say, like, to, you know, to people, not which is just on randomly on the bus. If every day is Christmas, there's no Christmas,
right?
And that's kind of what Christmas becomes. Get your philosophy hat on because this is coming hard.
Okay.
That's what with Christmas. If you have, you know, if you get 100 presents, you're not going to enjoy any of them.
Okay.
But if you get zero, also. So you kind of want to come somewhere in the middle, but where does that lie?
50. Right smack dab in the middle.
Perhaps I was too literal.
Okay.
I'm good at math. Yeah. Huh. Fair enough. Right. You derailed me, man.
Yeah, sorry.
It's your show now. Go.
Sorry. I think my feeling on Christmas and presents and my kids is because, I mean, I think about it differently as a parent as I probably did as a kid.
Right.
And I think as a kid, I probably had one thing going in. Like there's sort of one thing that I really had a want for. Mm-hmm. And now...
What was that?
Probably a GT snow racer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a new hockey stick or something. Like, again...
But not peace on earth could wield a man.
No, not really. No, that never occurred to me. But for my kids, we're trying to nail them down on this. We had this conversation yesterday and I said... What's the one thing you want? And they said, whoa, what do you mean one thing, right?
Oh, wow.
You mean the one, do you mean the one thing from Santa or the one thing from mom and dad or the one thing from Nan and Pa or auntie and uncle?
Oh, and it
goes on and on. And I said, no, if you had one thing to choose, what would it be? And I really tried to hold them to that. And
that's a better dad.
Yeah, exactly. That's what and they had a hard time with this. They did finally come clean on what the one thing was, because I don't want them to have a whole bunch of things that are meaningless. And that's sort of like you just said, what it becomes. And the other thing that I like, and both of, again, talking about this sort of, you know, world of overconsuming we live in, is we're trying to go the direction of, again, activities or experiences versus just stuff or just items. So,
for example, what sort of activities?
Well, my son wants Canucks tickets, so going to a hockey game with dad or mom or the whole family, so something like that. My daughter wants to go to the Nutcracker Ballet, so that's what she wants. So, again, I the cost of it is less important to me than the sort of idea of it. I love the fact that my daughter would ask for tickets to the Nutcracker Ballet as her big thing, and my wife and her can go without me.
Perfect.
Yeah. So everybody wins there. And, you know, the same thing with the Canucks tickets. So I really, birthdays and Christmas, this is kind of how I feel, is I have no problem with presents. I would prefer it to be experiences over things, whenever that's possible. Sometimes there's going to be a thing, no doubt.
Like, are you talking about the lead up to Christmas or the actual Christmas present?
The Christmas present. The present. Okay. I would prefer it to be an activity or an experience versus... a thing, an item. And now, again, I ultimately realize that they are going to get four or five things because their grandma and grandpa are going to get them something, whether I want it or not. Mm-hmm. They are going to get something, and same with the other grandma and grandpa. So there is going to be stuff. I'm just really trying to do my best to limit that and maybe have the thing that comes from the parents, from my wife and I, be an experience present versus... I think there's way more to be gained. I think they remember that stuff more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ask my kids, what did they get last year? If it was an experience, they'll remember, and it was.
You got a Polaroid.
Yeah,
camera.
Sure.
Didn't
you? Oh, that's right. That's my daughter. I can't remember my son. His birthday, they both birthdays were definitely experienced. I don't remember what I got him for Christmas last year.
Probably nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, your sister will take a picture of you.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of where I land on this whole Christmas and presents, and it's hard to do that for family. And I think I went off on a tangent last year about how I spoiled present giving for my wife's family, because every adult used to give every adult something, and I did not love that idea.
We talked, was that last year?
It was, I think it was last year, or maybe every year, because I go off on that. So let's just say that I got it down to a Secret Santa situation where, you know, we draw a name and everybody on her side of the family, we buy for one person. So I like that better. I'd prefer adults just pick things that they like.
What if you, now this would never happen, I understand, but what if you just said, nothing, we're not doing anything this year? You would completely ruin Christmas for them.
Yeah.
Because
I like the sentiment family, behind it. I like
that too. But I think your wife's family sort of has the. Now this there's no way I can say this without sounding like condescending. I really am
and
not.
You know my wife's family very well, so you're allowed to comment here.
Right, but there is sort of a I'll say childlike attitude towards Christmas without saying childish, because that childish is negative. I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
There is sort of a childlike wonder to it.
Definitely.
Where, you know, we've done Easter. I've been to their house at Easter where none of us had kids yet. We did have an Easter egg hunt.
Oh, a huge one.
And this is just before we started having kids.
Yeah. No, I participated. So we were in our 30s. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, ha, 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 we'll go out there and there'll be an egg and I'll eat one. And oh, no, like I pulled a hammy.
Yeah.
Like I could, and that was just getting pushed out of the way by your sister-in-law. She was into it.
Yeah.
She won.
Yeah.
We'll say she won.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Nobody wins.
Nobody wins. Nobody wins in that. And so there is that sort of thing, and which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I'm sure I made fun of it because that's what I do.
Yeah.
And just ate her chocolate and left. Hot move.
Yeah.
But there is that thing with Christmas. So I know that when you guys were doing the whole, you know, getting together for Christmas, the multiple families and not multiple families, but multiple kids bringing their families in, there's quite a few of you and you all know each other pretty well and get along well ish. Getting Christmas presents for everybody seemed like they were pretty excited.
Yeah.
Like they're pretty excited to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much thought went into it. I'm sure you just threw a lot of yours in the garbage.
Yeah. Well, the other move that I'm opposed to and one that has been employed by my wife's family.
Well, hang on a second. So you threw a blanket on this where you didn't want to have to buy for every single adult.
No.
So you threw cold water on that and said, but here's what we can do. We can. Now, I'm going to guess here's how you sold it. Rather than blow $20 on each person on nonsense, and I'm going to spend $140, what if we put the cap at $100, we spend less money, get something good, Secret Santa, go.
Something like that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So is $100 the cutoff?
Yeah, I think $100 is the cutoff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, if you were to then go and stay one step further and say, hey, this year, nothing for the adults, it's all about the kids, you'd be asked to leave.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got it as far down as I could possibly get it. Yeah. There's no more room for movement on my end. So this is what it is.
But you introduced something new this year.
Yes. Oh, so my move this year was because
wait. Back it up. What was their move?
Their move has always been since we've instituted this is you send out a list. You send out a list of all the potential ideas for someone to buy for you. Mm-hmm. So this is all within a family where you could kind of ask the spouse or whatever, get some, but you could come up with something on your own as the present buyer, but that's not how it goes. You are required basically to put out a list of ideas so that your Secret Santa person can just buy something off your list. And everyone goes off the list, pretty much off the list. And
so you register for Christmas.
So then at this point,
that's a terrible idea.
At this point, I sort of in my own thinking is like, well, what's even the point then? Because already I can just buy whatever I want if I decide I need something. So now I'm getting someone else to go out of their way to buy something that I've listed.
While you're buying something for them.
Yeah. So I sort of said to who I drew, and I'm going to spoiler alert this one. I got my brother-in-law. So if he's listening to this, he knows. But I told him anyways when I was down here. He was down visiting. I told him I told him no list and no receipts. He can't return it.
Wait a second. So you said, you drew him.
I drew him.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you say no list, you're not instituting a no list across the board policy.
No, I said
I'm not
playing. Don't bother giving me one. Yeah.
You know you should have said? You should have told him make the list. And then as soon as he gives it to you, go, yeah, I'm not buying off that list.
Yeah, yeah. So I saved him the time. I said, don't even bother. And he was fine with it. And I think everyone would be, but I'm not going to make that decision for them. My move is now.
Tell me what happened last year with the returns.
Well, I think that, I mean, I know my brother-in-law, I think he returned everything. I didn't buy for him,
right.
But I think he returned everything. And so I basically said...
Meaning all the presents he got from
his Secret Santa came with receipts, right. And he just promptly went back and picked different things. So again, in my head, what was the point? Not yeah. only did they go shopping for you and buy off your list, but he didn't keep the items. And so I am not wasting my time to do that. I will not provide a receipt. He has no choice but to keep what I get him. Mm-hmm. And I will be creative enough to get him something good, which I succeeded in.
You did. Let's not give that away.
Not going to give that away. Listen. Not giving
that away. What if he
does
listen?
Well, if he listens, then he knows he gets something awesome with
yeah,
no receipt.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
With no receipt.
Well, there was no receipt.
No, this was an yeah. underground transaction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He like got something
you
awesome.
You did it on the SkyTrain?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Wow.
So anyways, maybe at some point after Christmas, I'll let you guys all know what I got him after
we'll
Christmas.
Post a photo.
Yeah. Something.
Not that photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great policy. And I'm glad that you're the agitator.
Yeah.
Because I'm also the agitator. Yeah. And I say, no, this is stupid. This idea, this thing that all eight of you have been doing your whole lives. Yeah, no, that's stupid. It's essentially how it comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
You seem to word it better.
I sugarcoat it a little bit.
You do sugarcoat it. Yeah. And you do a little of the upsell, the sideways sell. You're like, well, if we do this.
Yeah.
I had a good friend of mine and yours, you know him. We played poker at his house last week.
Okay.
He, remember, he was still in his last year of college down in the States, and he'd come back for Christmas and just had no money. Just nothing. And we're all, you know, everybody's back from college or you know, prison or wherever we were.
Yeah.
And we're celebrating and going out. We're in our, you know, we're 21. So we're going out downtown a lot, going to bars and stuff like that. And he had no money at all. Nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Just broke. So his stepmother had bought him a bunch of presents for Christmas. He'd gotten a bunch of stuff. So this is sort of the Boxing Day 27th. We're going out, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he'd gotten a whole bunch of stuff from her, and she did not have her finger on the pulse of what to get him at all. It was all very expensive, but just terrible. So his thing was he's taking it back. He's going to take it back, get something else. But his mind starts working. He's thinking, all right, actually, if I take this back, this shirt back, like this golf shirt was like $120, which at the time was wicked expensive. Expensive now, but $120, I can get one from the Gap for like 28, you know, maybe get two and then pocket $40,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was kind of his math he started doing. So he started doing that. Never actually bought anything from the Gap though. Never replaced it. Just basically took all the presents back, got a whole bunch of cash and drank it. Merry Christmas. I'm a drunken disappointment.
Yeah.
That was his Christmas present from his stepmom.
Yeah.
Felt terrible about it.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, and you know.
Then just told the story and laughed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guess what I did?
I don't think she ever checked up on it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, what'd you do with that? No.
Well, she happens to be a Hoser's listener.
She's a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan.
She
so
emailed
cats
us
out of the
week.
Bag.
Yeah. Sorry about that. No, I like the experience thing, and part of what I like about the Vancouver Christmas versus the German Christmas is we don't have as much of a lead up in Germany, which is that's kind of nice. Like we don't have the Christmas lights and all that. But what you do have here is the Christmas train.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did as a kid.
Yeah.
Which no one had heard of though.
We do it every year, yeah.
No one had heard of it. I mean, few people had heard of it, but at that time when I was a kid, they actually had indoor plumbing and lights, but you would just show up and pay your $250 and go. It wasn't like you had to book it 2 years in advance and get there.
Yeah.
So which is kind of what you have to do now, not 2 years in advance, but.
Yeah. They start online bookings months ahead. Yeah.
How do you even know what you're going to do that day?
You're going to do the Christmas train that day.
That's unbelievable.
That's a priority.
That's unbelievable.
You can walk up and do it, but you're going to probably spend a long time in a lineup.
Oh, there is a walk-up?
Yeah, you can still walk up. You run the risk of it potentially being sold out. If you're going to go Christmas Eve, chances are you're not going to get a spot.
Fair enough.
But no, there is walk-up as well. I think a lot of people like to have it so that, especially if you're going with young kids, it's scheduled. You know, you're going to be on the 6:30 train. So it's all very organized. You show up at, you know, quarter after, they put you in one line, they funnel you in, you're right on the 6:30 train.
So this is the Stanley Park Miniature Railroad.
Yeah, and it's always themed, and they have all, it's, I don't know, it's about a 10-minute train. There's music piped in that goes with the particular parts of, you know, they line it up. So there's Snoopy stuff and there's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stuff and Frosty the Snowman. And mm-hmm. they usually have a theme. Last year, I want to say it was disco or something.
Sure.
So anyways, it is all set to music and it's really a nice experience. Kids love it. So it's become a tradition. A lot of adults go there, mm-hmm. Just carrying that tradition forward. So it's the money goes towards, I think, the Vancouver Firefighters Fund or the Burn Fund. So it's the month again, you feel good going. It goes to a good cause. It's a great experience. I would encourage anybody in Vancouver to do it.
Oh, anybody visiting? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Check it out all year round. It's something we've taken the kids on whenever we come to Vancouver. We go in the summertime too when it's something else.
Yeah.
But that was a thing we did as a kid. And I remember one time us coming out and doing it when I was, you know, probably 10 years old or something like that. And it happened to snow like in the days before Christmas. It snowed. And so we actually were out there in the snow doing the train, like, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we did have hot chocolate. So, you know, that's a win.
Sure.
But there's all kinds of other stuff that I remember us doing. Like, we used to, there'd be nothing wrong with getting in the car and just driving around looking at people's Christmas
lights.
Yeah,
we make a annual trip, and sometimes we even go with friends, and you can look up in the paper sort of a good route, some streets that really go over the top as far as the decorating, and yeah, we do that, and we'll go for a drive. Sometimes, you know, places, you know, 45 minutes away just to look at a cool street for lights, and mm-hmm. our kids get into it, and usually in their jammies with hot chocolates, and yeah, that's an event for us.
And they can watch Christmas movies in the back.
Sure. On their 22-inch, like, pull-out flat screen, yeah.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Not 22-inch. It's smaller than that.
Probably only eight and a half inches.
Yeah. Yeah. They're roughing it, those kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably sue you
when
they get older. Child abuse. Yeah. Only had the one screen in the back. We had to watch the same show. Terrible. Terrible childhood. But I do see one of the traditions that has made inroads here and is moving this year. It's no longer at the Queen Eve Theater. They're having the German Christmas market over by the Olympic Torch.
Yeah, and apparently there's some huge glow maze, like outdoor lit maze or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Where would that be? Down there?
Somewhere down there, yeah.
I don't know that there's a lot of real estate for a big maze.
Yeah, just what I've heard.
You're going to get wet.
Yeah.
you're going in Cole Harbour.
Yeah, but somewhere there's a big maze.
I saw it being set up. I was down there shooting, and I saw it being set up, and I thought, it's kind of funny to see, because we have them in Germany, obviously. Why they're called the German Christmas markets. And actually my team, the Hawks, we run one of the, like, we have a booth in the Tubingen one, but which only runs for 3 days though. Like in the one in Vancouver, I guess it's probably going to open up, I'm going to guess, this weekend
soon. Yeah.
Or whatever. And runs
for probably a month. Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time. It costs money to get in and all that, which I guess you have to do here. In Germany, it's just in the city square and you walk up. And that's it. And Glühwein is, I don't know, $2.50 or something like that. You get to keep the mug maybe if you want.
Yeah.
And no, it's that.
A lot more than that, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know what the admission is. So, yeah, 10 or 15 bucks, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Wow.
Just to walk in.
Do you go?
Have not been. Have not been. I meant to go last year. We're downtown and it was pouring rain. And so we opted out of it. But possibly this year.
I think they hand out, there are some nights where it's like, oh, it's free entry or something like that. Now, the downside being everyone goes, but it might be worth checking out. I've been to the old one at Queenie just sort of on a lark. We had free tickets just to see, hey, what does it look like? And it really is, I mean, they have German stuff there. The shacks do look like the German shacks.
Yeah.
And they a bunch of toy makers and people from Germany had flown in. And brought their cuckoo clocks and whatever they were selling, their wooden toys and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a carousel and all the things that are traditions at the German Christmas market.
Yeah. Well, the older German fellow that lives just around the corner from me that I bought some of his handmade wood carved pens, he does most of his business down at the Christmas market. So
all right.
Authentic German handmade everything.
I think probably worth going.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make a tradition out of it myself, like we do back home, because we will hit a few different villages, because the villages around, they sort of stagger them. And so, you know, we'll go in the tubing in. That's great. That's I forget when that runs. Like, I have to work it when I get home. I know that. Like December, I'm going to say 9th, 10th, 11th is when that happens. And then the surrounding villages might have it a week early, and they'll have a little carousel there that the kids can ride for free. And it's a great community event. And the big thing is there is that everyone loves the what they call the Swedish ovens. The big log that's sawn with sawn in half twice, quartered, I guess, but not all the way through, just partial way through. So then they light the inside and it burns on the inside like a torch.
Okay, yeah.
And so they have those everywhere. Everyone warms up, walk around having glühwein. It's pretty great. And then of course Nikolaus, depends when this is, but if it's the week before Nikolaustag, which is December the 6th, when he comes to your house and fills up your boots with
chocolate.
I was going to say whiz, but probably chocolate is more.
Yeah,
is better.
Yeah,
I've been doing it wrong. I owe my kids an apology. So come and he fills our kids up with chocolate and pajamas.
Sure,
which he does. Oddly, he gets them from Roots. Weird.
Just where he shops.
Yeah, it's where he likes to shop. And so then, if it's just before then, they'll actually have someone dressed up as Nikolaus come out and just hand out chocolate and free stuff to all the kids, which is pretty great. So that's the traditions that we go with. I wish we had the Stanley Park train, though.
Yeah.
And the Capilano
Suspension Bridge, or the Van Dusen Lights, or, yeah, the garden, Van Dusen Gardens, yeah.
The Christmas trees at Canada Place.
I haven't done that.
That's still a thing?
Well, they have it at hotels, though, yeah.
Right.
Hotels. Yeah, we do that.
I hated that as a kid.
Yeah, my kids are kind of indifferent about the trees.
My parents wanted to go, and I thought, this is a waste of everybody's time.
And then there's gingerbread house displays, too. And
you got it all.
Yeah, we got it all.
Good news, though. Good news. I mean, in what I like is that in the over-commercialization of Christmas, which I don't think anybody can defend that. No one can argue that it hasn't been over-commercialized. I don't think.
No. It would be a tough argument.
That's a tough putt. Good luck to you for arguing that. But within that, I think the important takeaway is that there is a memorable Christmas. There is a wonderful experience within that.
Absolutely.
And we haven't even touched on having to make an appointment to get your picture taken with Santa.
Correct.
That is craziness.
That is happening.
Are you doing it?
No,
skip it. I gotta protest that, man.
No.
Yeah, I feel like if somebody were to reintroduce the idea of, hey, this is a Polaroid one, you walk up, you get one shot, you get the Polaroid, I'll bet you they'd do big business.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
All right. So within that, enjoy your Christmas.
You too.
Find the. I'm talking to our listeners now.
Yeah, me too.
Find the good in it. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of nice traditions that you can still pull out of there and avoid the over-commercialization.
Sure. Good words to end with.
There you go.
Nobody's listening still.
Or at all. Or at the beginning.
Still.
Still. Yeah. Wonderful. All right. That's it. To our listeners, season's greetings. Merry Christmas.
Sure. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
All the best. Be safe.
Yep.
The number 7.
Yep.
Just things are just popping into my mind at this point.
Things in your living room.
No, thanks for listening all year. Thanks for your support, Adam and I. Really appreciate it. Glad you're still with us, and we look forward to a new year. So, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.